So we cover it a bit from last time. It's number 169, the number of the piece. My conversation with the Lord Jesus before the retreat. Jesus told me that this retreat would be a little different from others. Jesus said, "You shall strive to maintain a profound peace in respect to your communings with me. I will remove all doubts in this regard. I know that you are at peace now as I speak to you, but the moment I stop talking, you will start looking for doubts. But I want you to know that I will affirm your soul to such a degree that even if you wanted to be doubted, troubled, it will not be within your power. And as a proof that it is I who am speaking to you, you will go to confession on the second day of the retreat to the priest who is preaching the retreat. You will go to him as soon as he has finished the conference and will present to him all your doubts concerning me. I will answer you through his lips, and then your fear will end. During this retreat, observe such strict silence that it will be as though nothing exists around you. You shall speak only to me and to your confessor. You will ask your superiors only for penance." So speaking to Luke Body, to the superior for penance, just in case you break some rules for penance. Otherwise, complete silence. "I felt immense joy that the Lord would show me such kindness and know himself to such so much for my sake. The first day of the retreat, I tried to be the first in the chapel in the morning. Before the meditation, I had a bit of time for prayer to the Holy Spirit and to Our Lady. I earnestly begged the Mother of God to obtain for me the grace of fidelity to this inner inspiration and of faithfully carrying out God's will, whatever it might be. I began this retreat with a very special kind of courage, struggle to keep silence. As usual, sisters from various houses came to the retreat. One of the sisters, whom I had not seen for a long time, came to my cell and said she had something to tell me. I did not answer her, and she saw that I did not want to break silence. She said to me, 'I didn't know you were such an eccentric sister.' And she went away." That means the person doesn't care about your labor. I was well aware that she had no other business with me than to satisfy her own curious self-love. Oh God, preserve me in faithfulness. The father who preached the retreat came from America. He had come to Poland for only a short time, and it so happened that he conducted our retreat. A deep interior life was reflected from his person. His bearing testified to the greatness of his spirit. Mortification and recollection characterized this priest. But despite his great virtues, I experienced such difficulty in revealing my soul to him in regard to graces received. As for sins, it's always easy to do so, but in respect to graces, I really have to make a great effort. Even then, I do not tell anything." Next paragraph. Satan's temptations during meditation. "I felt strange fear that the priest would not understand me, or that he would have no time to hear everything. I will have to say, how am I going to tell him all this? If it were Father Bukowski, I would do it more easily. But this Jesuit, whom I am seeing for the first time, then remembered Father Bukowski's advice that I should at least take brief notes of the lights sent to me by God during the retreats and give him at least a brief report on them. My God, for a day and a half, all has gone well, and now a life and death struggle is beginning. The conference is to start in half an hour, and then I'm to go to confession. Satan tried to persuade me into believing that if my superiors have told me that my inner life is an illusion, why should I ask again and trouble the confessor? Didn't Mother Jane tell you that the Lord Jesus does not commune with souls as miserable as yours? Temptations. This confessor is going to tell you all the same thing. I speak to him about all this. These are Lord's sins. And the mother told you that all this communing with the Lord Jesus was daydreaming and pure hysteria. So I tell it to this confessor, you will do better to dismiss all this as illusion. Look how many humiliations you have suffered before because of them, and how many more are still awaiting you. And all the sisters know that you are a hysteric. Jesus, I called out with all the strength of my soul. At that moment, the priest came in and began the conference. He spoke for a short time, as if he were in a hurry. After the conference, he went over to the confessional. Seeing that none of the sisters were going there, I sprang up from my kneeler and in an instant was in the confessional. There was no time to deliberate. Instead of telling the father about the doubts that had been sown in me in respect to my dealings with the Lord Jesus, I began to speak about these temptations I have just described above. The confessor immediately understood my situation and said, "Sister, you distrust the Lord Jesus because he treats you so kindly. Well, sister, be completely at peace. Jesus is your master, and your communion with him is neither daydreaming, nor hysteria, nor illusion. Know that you are on the right path. Please try to be faithful to these graces. You are not free to shun them. You do not need at all, sister, to tell your superiors about these interior graces, unless the Lord Jesus instructs you clearly to do so. And even then, you should first consult with your confessor. But if the Lord Jesus demands something external, in this case, after consulting your confessor, you should carry out what he asks of you, even if this costs you greatly. On the other hand, you must tell your confessor everything. There is absolutely no other course for you to take. Pray that you may find a spiritual director, or else you will waste these great gifts of God. I repeat once again, be at peace. You are following the right path. take no heed to anything else, but always be faithful to the Lord Jesus, no matter what anyone says about you. It is with great such miserable souls that the Lord Jesus communes in this intimate way. And the more you humble yourself, the more the Lord will unite himself with you. Be humble. Jesus can come to the soul with pride. When I left the confessional, ineffable joy filled my soul, so that I withdrew to a scheduled spot in the garden to hide myself from the sister, to allow my heart to pour itself out to God. God's presence penetrated me, and in an instant, all my nothingness was drowned in God. At the same moment, I felt, or rather discerned, the three divine persons dwelling in me. I had such great peace in my soul that I myself was surprised that I could have gone so many misgivings. Another paragraph. Resolution. Faithfulness to inner inspirations, even though I would have no idea how much I would have to pay for it. I must do nothing on my own without first consulting the confessor. Renewal of vows. From the moment I woke up in the morning, my spirit was totally submerged in God, in the ocean of love. I felt I had been completely immersed in Him. During Holy Mass, my love for Him reached a peak of intensity. After renewal of vows and Holy Communion, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me with great kindness, "My daughter, look at my merciful heart." As I fixed my gaze on the most sacred host, sacred heart, the same rays of light as are represented in an image as blood and water came forth from it, and I understood how great is the Lord's mercy. And again, Jesus said to me with kindness, "My daughter, speak to priests about this inconceivable mercy of mine. The flames of mercy are burning me, clamoring to be spent. I want to keep pouring them out upon souls. Souls just don't want to believe in my goodness." So that the two, the blood and the white, the lighter. Suddenly, Jesus disappeared. But throughout that whole day, my spirit remained immersed in God's tangible presence, despite the buzz and chatter that usually follow a retreat. I did not disturb me in the least. My spirit was in God. Although externally I took part in the conversations and even went to visit Derby. Today, we're beginning the third probation. All three of us met at Mother Margaret's, as the other sisters were having their probation in the novitiate. Mother Margaret began with a prayer, explained to us what the third probation consists of, and then spoke on how great is the grace of the perpetual vows. Suddenly, I began to cry out loud. In an instant, all God's graces appeared before my eyes of my soul, and I saw myself so wretched and ungrateful towards God. The sisters began to rebuke me, saying, "Why did she break out crying?" But Mother Margaret came to my defense, saying that she was not surprised. At the end of the hour, I went before the Blessed Sacrament and knelt, the greatest and most miserable of wretches. I begged for his mercy, that he might heal and purify my poor soul. Then I heard these words, my daughter, all your miseries have been consumed in the flame of my love. Like a little twig thrown into a roaring fire, by humbling yourself in this way, you draw upon yourself and upon other souls an entire sea of my mercy. I answered, Jesus, mold my poor heart according to your divine light. The next paragraph. Throughout the third probation, it was my duty to help the sisters in a vestiary. This duty gave me many occasions to practice virtues. Sometimes I had to take linen to certain sisters 3 times, and still one could not satisfy them. But I also came to recognize the great virtues of some sisters who always ask for the poorest things from the vestiary. I admired the spirit of humility and mortification. Next paragraph. During Advent, a great yearning for God arose in my soul. My spirit rushed toward God with all its might. During that time, the Lord gave me such light, much light, to know His attributes. The first attribute which the Lord gave me to know is His holiness. His holiness is so great that all the powers and virtues tremble before Him. The pure spirit veil their faces and lose themselves in unending adoration. And in one single word, they express the highest form of adoration, that is holy. The holiness of God is poured out upon the church of God and upon every living soul in it, but not in the same degree. They are souls who are completely penetrated by God, and they are those who are barely alive. The second kind of knowledge which the Lord granted me concerning His justice. His justice is so great and penetrating that it reaches deep into the heart of things, and all things stand before Him in naked truth, and nothing can withstand Him. Nothing can hide. Maybe nobody knows, but see everything. The third attribute is love and mercy. And I understood that the greatest attribute is love and mercy. It unites the creature with the Creator. This immense love and abyss of mercy are made known through the incarnation of the Word and the redemption of humanity. And it is here that I saw this as the greatest of all God's attributes. So the first attribute, holiness. Second, justice. Holiness, justice. The third is love and mercy. Today I was cleaning the room of one of the sisters. Although I was trying to clean it with utmost care, she kept following me all the time and saying, "You have left a speck of dust here and a spot on the floor there." At each of her remarks, I did each place over a dozen times, just to satisfy her. Perhaps this is your experience. Your mom told you, nothing there. Not that. You did 10 times, still they are not satisfied. Isn't it? Sometimes. They are not satisfied. Nobody satisfies our job. Nobody. Even ourselves. So, you can't imagine people satisfying yourselves. Even you yourself are satisfied, you build yourself. So, some sin is the same. No satisfaction. You know, it is not work that makes me tired, but all this talking and excessive demands. Work this entire person. But a kind of attitude. let you mad, right? And that sister Faustina experiencing the same thing. Although she didn't come to Hong Kong to work as a household maid, but she the same. And worse, that's supposed to be now. But whole days, martyrdom was not enough for her. So she went to the directress and complained. My goodness. Mother, who is this careless sister who doesn't know how to work quickly? The next day, I went again to do the same job without trying to explain myself. When she started driving me, I thought, Jesus, one can be a silent martyr. It's not the work that wears you out, but this kind of martyrdom. Crazy, eh? I don't know who that sister is. I learned that certain people have a special gift of vexing others. Some people delight to make people mad. They try you as best they can. The poor soul that falls into their hands can do nothing right. Her best efforts are maliciously criticized. So next week, we start the Christmas Eve meditation. Huh? So stop from here. Be joyful. You're not much better and not much worse than Sister Faustina. So don't think that in the world you are the only person who suffers in such a stupid way, criticized always by people, and nobody satisfied with what you're doing. Don't care. You're going to work only for Jesus. The same. You are the same as Sister Faustina. Work with her. And whenever you're criticized, Faustina, come on. Give me the strength. Okay, next week, devotee.